The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
And now, it's time for Radio Jobline with your host, Scott Possessor, right here on 103.9 LI News Radio.
Welcome, everybody. It must be Saturday afternoon between 2 and 3 p.m. I'm here for you every week. Been here for you every week for about 6.5 years now here on LI News Radio. Last week, I reopened the show after a 2-month hiatus. I wasn't able to get into the studio and didn't feel comfortable being in the studio, speaking directly into a microphone, perhaps used by someone else who might have had who knows what critters. But we restarted the show again last week. I did an open and talked about my take on what's happening in the economy, what's happening in the political arena above the economy that's making it worse. I always say, where is the love for the 90,000 people that are dead? I'm not seeing that. And I'm upset about a lot of things going on in the economy, but it is encouraging to know that people are going back to work soon here in this area. Certainly in other areas of the country, they're already back. And last week we talked about a specific industry and how it was affected by the pandemic. And we have an amazing guest who can tell us all about the home improvement industry. I'll keep that a secret for one more moment, who it is. But I also want to introduce Ken Connolly, who's with me in the studio tonight. Ken is my new intern. Welcome, Ken.
Yes, Scott. Very nice to be here.
And this is your first show. I know you had your own little radio show in college.
Correct.
So that's one of the reasons that I chose you. And why don't you tell everybody how you got to meet me and how you got this internship?
So last summer, I had seen that you put out an ad for the internship. You needed an intern here at 103.9 FM, the job line. And so I reached out on LinkedIn, and you had said the spot was already filled. So I reached out in November, after the summer had ended, for the next summer to see if I could intern with you. And you had said, yes, reach out the first week of April and I'll give you the first priority interview for the show. Sure enough, I reached out on April 1st, this past April, and you gave me the breakdown of the show and you said, Ken, congratulations. You got the internship. And you know why? I said, why? Because you called me when I told you to call me and I liked that. So I'm glad to be here, Scott, and thank you for the opportunity.
How about that voice, guys? This is a radio guy in the making. Well done, Ken, and welcome.
Thank you.
Before we go to our guest today, we also have a commercial you're going to read. We have a relationship with a company called BizShout. Tell us about it.
So BizShout, socially promote yourself or your business, is a new promotional platform to express yourself. Let your passions do the talking to connect, inspire, and earn. For their first service to help you on your resume inspires new hires, you can build a free creative resume, which can potentially get you placed 4 times faster by combining resume information, rich content, and more in a handsomely designed portfolio. Join them for free at bizshout.com and discover their interview secrets to make you outshine your competition.
Mike, what am I looking at here? Was that great? That was awesome, Ken.
Thank you
awesome.
Very much.
You can tell you've been on the radio before. All right, enough about you. Okay. We're going to talk about the home improvement business. Now, a lot of businesses on Long Island have been hit hard by, I don't even know if that's a strong enough word, devastated, destroyed. Bigger words are coming to mind. And I'm sure the home improvement business has taken a hit here, too. We're going to find out about that from one of Long Island's most loved and respected entrepreneurs. I happen to know Sal Ferro from at least going back 20 years. I consider him a friend. He is a philanthropist and driven chief executive with over 35 years of residential remodeling experience. And he built a high-performing culture at Allure Home Improvements while making a positive difference throughout the Long Island community. You guys remember Extreme Home Makeover? That was Sal that kept doing those builds. I think he did 8 of them. And that made him a hero in my eyes. Some of those shows were totally tearjerkers.
Oh, they were awesome.
And so he manages people through motivation, incentivizing, empowering employees, develops executable strategies that motivate teams and financially to exceed the corporate objectives. Farrell lives in Comac with his three children and his wife Molly and their three children. There are 90,000 people, thanks to Seth Celesno, employed in the construction industry on Long Island. That's 90,000 people, 90,000 families. This is a $101 billion sector of the United States economy with 1.5 million jobs nationwide. And Sal, if there's anybody on Long Island that can give us the take on what's happening in home improvements, it's you. Welcome to my show, buddy.
Hi, Scott. It is great to speak to you again. I can't believe it's been 20-plus years.
Now, do you remember that you got your start in TV from me?
Yeah. Yes. You were the guy.
And
back in Job Line, I remember going on the show, and that was, as I would say to a lot of people, that was about 20 years and 20 pounds ago.
Yeah, I would say it was almost more than 20. Even more than 20, but we don't want to date you or anything, Sal, but I think it's even longer than that. And what was amazing was the very first day I met you, I told you, you were great on television.
Wow.
And then there you go. A couple of months later, I lost track of you, and then you showed up on Extreme Home Makeover. So, Sal, we're going to talk about the sadness, you know, that has hit our economy. And the state of our home improvement business. But once we get done with that, I would love for people to hear your story of, because that's what we were going to do initially, was just talk about you and how you got to be where you are today. It's just a very inspiring story, what you've done business-wise and philanthropy-wise. But tell us a little bit about this home improvement thing, Sal. It crept up on all of us. We were all hoping it wouldn't be as serious as it is, and then March 15th or so, it was for everybody. What's the state of the business? What's happening in the business?
Okay, where we're at right now, when it first came about, it was, construction, we thought, was going to kind of squeak by a little bit, you know, in the beginning. Our leaders in New York State deemed construction an essential business. So we were continuing to work in the early stages, and in the early stages we were working. But regardless of whether it was an essential business or not, you know, in this business it's all about consumer confidence.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about, you know, how does the consumer feel? Are they going to let us work? We're in residential remodeling. You know, we touch people, not touch them physically, but we're in their homes.
Right.
And we're doing something that we come into contact with people every day. So the more and more serious in nature this pandemic became, the more and more consumers became more and more concerned, and it affected our industry and our business.
Mm-hmm.
With that being said, we started to kind of have a partial shutdown.
Mm-hmm.
Albany said, hey, listen, construction is no longer essential. We're basically shut construction down. Restrictions came in, and it hit the business hard.
Mm.
Where we're at right now with the shutdown, we haven't shut down completely. The restrictions that were put upon our industry, we were allowed one guy on a job, and we're allowed to be able to do partial work.
Mm.
And it's only so much you can do with one person on a job.
Mm-hmm.
So we're working what we consider a partial shutdown. We pivoted our business, and we reacted quickly. I think one of the key things that we're finding now, Scott, is, you know, CEOs today, they have to, you know, they can't really react. They really have to anticipate.
Mm-hmm.
And from the beginning, we were trying to anticipate as this was happening, what's next? What do we have to do? What are we looking at? And we have to think about the consumer,
mm-hmm.
you know? And we were thinking about the safety of our employees, their families, and our consumers, and saying, okay, what does the law have to do? What position are we in? What do we have to do about our workers? So we thought about safety first. We thought about what protocols we have to put in place, and what do we have to do to keep as many employees employed as we can. But most importantly, what do we have to do to make sure there's going to be a company in place 6 months from now, a year from now, and in the future?
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of where we're at right now. We did work in April. We didn't work anywhere near what we are capable of and what we typically do,
mm-hmm.
and we're working now.
Mm.
But when I said we pivoted, we created a virtual contactless sales system.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing virtual sales. We have an online showroom. We've sold, you know, some projects, not as much as we typically do. We did actually far more than I thought we would. Mm-hmm. I'm incredibly impressed and proud of my my team. They sold some jobs virtually. We've worked with our consumers online, and we're continuously pushing that forward. And I think it's going to be part of our process after this is all over. So a lot of what we're doing is things that will help us down the road, and it's part of what we're doing now.
So we're
day by day, but I do think things are going to open up shortly. But it doesn't matter. There's no light switch. You can't turn an economy on and off just like it's a light switch.
Right, right. I hear you. And that's not the same. It's going to be the same for everybody, Sal. Even my business, staffing, you know, who needs staffing when people are, you know, millions of people are losing their jobs? So it's like I'm in the wrong business, too. It impacted everybody and everything in the economy. There was really nobody that escaped. You know, just a few little pockets of people that got lucky because what they do is valuable, you know, in this particular pandemic. But I've never seen anything like this, Sal. I've been around on this planet a very long time, and I hope I never see it again. It's a nightmare you can't wake up from. You know, you can't watch the news because all the bickering, you know, that's going on in politics just makes it sick. It's a sickness, you know, that's going on.
The bickering is taking away from, you know, they're focusing on bickering as opposed to being solution oriented.
Yeah.
You know, we need to focus on solution.
Yeah.
You know, we've got a congressman on Long Island, Tom Suozzi, and, you know, I like Tom. Mm-hmm. I really like Tom a lot.
Right.
Because Tom, you know, he crosses bridges. He focuses on reaching across the aisle and saying, what do we got to get done?
Mm-hmm.
And he's worked with Peter King. They're both from opposite sides of the aisle, and they've done things to work together to get things done. And I don't care about labels. I care about getting things done.
Mm.
If you're a Republican, a Democrat, I don't really care. Mm. I care, what are you doing about our region?
Mm.
Okay? We've got two county executives, and Laura Kern and Steve Ballone, and they are trying to get Long Island opened. We, you know, I'm part of Long Island Builders Institute. I'm past president, past chairman. I work with our CEO, Mitch Pally, and our president, Jimmy Coven, and we're trying to work to get construction started back up again. Construction has one of the biggest economic impacts of anything on Long Island.
Mm.
It has a huge economic impact because of the amount of people we employ, the supply chain that we affect, not just the products we buy, the drivers, the people that deliver it, the amount of people that affect the stores and the commerce around it. We need to get construction going.
So those 90.
And I do believe our elected officials are very much in that corner to get it going, and I think we can get it going safely. But we need to get it going.
Those 90.
And the bickering's not going to work. There can't be a political agenda behind it.
The 90,000 people I mentioned, Sal, that doesn't include all the people connected to those 90,000 people.
And I don't know where that number came from, but I think it's far more than that. I'm not really sure. I don't know if Seth got you that number, but I think that number is definitely far more than 90,000 people are connected to construction.
Just here on Long Island. Just here on Long Island. So
there are close to 3 million people on Long Island, and I would say that far more than 90,000 are connected to construction.
All right, well, there you go, the Bureau of Labor Statistics. What are you going to do with them then?
Oh, that's the Bureau of Labor Statistics?
That's what they gave me, yeah.
So if you think about from that point, then they're talking about the people in the construction industry. I'm wondering if they're adding on to that, the people in the plumbing industry, the electrical industry, the people in the supply chain, people that work at Florence or Allied. We can go down the line.
Yeah, probably not. I think this is just plain construction workers. You know, you're right. It's affecting, you know, a lot of people. I mean, it's a huge industry, and it's part of Long Island's culture. I mean, we do a lot of, we're all homeowners, and we do a lot of home improvements. And I've certainly had the experience myself, Sal, so I know what it's like. And I think what we should do is shift over to something much more positive, Sal, which is your story, your great foundation that you formed. Tell us about the Farrell Foundation.
That's something I'm very proud of. You know, for years, I've tried to give back to the community. I'm very proud of this community and the region that we're in. It's served the law well. And I think that you got to get back to the community that you work in. And I finally said, you know, I have to form something that I could have a vehicle to do it with. I can't just keep doing things and just doing things individually here and there. I have to form a vehicle to do it with. And we came up with the Farrell Foundation. And it started where we were going to do scholarships and I started saying, you know, I want to do more than just a scholarship here and there. I want to be able to help seniors and help a veteran and do stuff like that. And it just sprung to where it's just a vehicle for us to be able to help people. And it's a good feeling to be able to do things. You know, one thing we've done during the pandemic is I've been buying hand sanitizer. When it was very difficult to get hand sanitizer, Live Long Island Spirits out in Baiting Hollow, another Long Island business that pivoted during this pandemic, converted to making their distillery into making hand sanitizer. So I talked with the owner. I was buying hand sanitizer. I was donating it to Huntington Hospital from Ferrell Foundation, donating some to Family Service League, and I thought that was a great way to get, because they were struggling right during the peak of everything.
Yeah. I want to let the listeners know, Sal, let me give you a little credit here. I want to let the listeners know that you're just not any home remodeling company. You were voted one of Newsday's 2019 top workplace company on Long Island, 8-time lead builder for Extreme Home Makeover. I love that story. I want to get into that a little bit in the next segment. You got the National Remodeler of the Year Award from Professional Remodeler Magazine, the Forbes Business Enterprise Award. I don't know, Sal, what award haven't you won yet? I don't think there's any left. Large Business Achievement Award by the Hopog Industrial Association, Long Island Business News Outstanding CEO Award, voted Long Island's Most Philanthropic Person by Long Island Press 3 times, voted to Long Island Press Power List 10 times on Top 50 Most Influential People on Long Island, and inducted into the Long Island Press Power Hall of Fame, honored with the Long Island Business News Icon Award. I mean, I could go on and on and on, Sal. So when I had you on the show today, I was excited because I knew I'd get the real story. And I know nobody knows what's going on and what the business is going to look like more than you do. Let's talk about that for a minute before we go any further. What is it going to look like? Let's say we open up 2-3 weeks from now and construction is perfectly capable of going back to what it was doing before. I assume everybody's got to wear a mask. You know, what other changes are we going to have to make?
Well, the protocols are we're going to wear a mask. We're going to follow the rules. Mm-hmm. And I'm a stickler for following the rules, because we're going to follow the rules and we're going to show that, you know, we're in this together. We're going to unite, but we're going to really get through this, Scott. We're going to be a strong, strong region. We're going to persevere. We've got incredible entrepreneurs. We've got an incredible group of people. I think Allura's going to do well because of the foundation that we're built on. And there's going to be a lot of companies that are going to do well, but it's going to take time.
Yeah.
It's going to take time. We've got to remember, it's all about the consumer. If you're going to forget the customer and you're going to forget the people behind it, it's about the consumer, okay? And the consumer has to feel good. And we've got to start to make people feel good again.
Yeah, you know,
people have to feel good about going out and seeing each other and buying.
People were feeling good, Sal. Things were going pretty well. I mean, my year started out pretty good. I'm sure your 2020 started out pretty good too.
I had a great January and February.
Yeah, me too.
Best thoughts I've had in years.
I know. So it was looking like it was going to be a fabulous year. So that's why this is especially like a double whammy. You know that we all have to put up with this, but I know the industry will rally. Long Island is comprised of just about nothing but homeowners. So, and we all need work on our house. But you're right. You know, the consumer's mind is a little disaffected right now, Sal. Many of us were doing well, but we don't really know what the future looks like for our particular business.
You know, I think, Scott, you know, a lot of people are throwing different things out there. Number one, we're in this together. There is no specific, thing. You know, last time with a big, huge recession, the housing market got hit really hard, banking. We're in this together. I think we're going to come out of this together. I think that, once a vaccine comes about, there is going to be such a relief amongst everyone. The markets are going to rally, and people are going to start feeling good again, and we're going to have a very steep recovery.
Yep.
And we have an incredible region. A region of great resources, great people, and people like you that can staff the businesses and mm-hmm. start to rebound well. I believe my company is poised to do great. I do believe the weak are going to go bye-bye. I think the companies that weren't financially stable, that didn't have cash reserves, I mean, listen, cash is king. If you aren't in good position, you're going to be gone.
Mm-hmm.
But there were a lot of big projects that were ready to go. And there are a lot of developments that are going to still go.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they need to get going. And these developments are going to start pouring money back in. Belmont's going to get started again. The hub's going to get going. You've got, you know, Ronkonkoma Hub is going. You've got the hub in Nassau. There's some projects that are going to going, and it's going to bring money into the area.
Mm-hmm.
Infrastructure projects will start going again. Long Island's going to start humming. We've got some good elected officials. Ballone's going to be around for a couple of years. Curran, God wants, she'll get reelected. She's real solid. We'll be in good hands. And this region will rebound really well.
All righty, great. We're coming up on a commercial, Sal. Stay with us. We had another whole segment with you. You're listening to Radio Jobline with Scott Possessor, joined today also by Ken Connolly, my new intern, who did a fabulous job. I don't know if you heard him before, Sal. That was his first time on radio here. Excellent job. And if you have an idea for Radio Jobline and want to talk about your industry on this show, just send me an email. I'm at scottp118@gmail.com. scottp118@gmail.com. I will discuss your idea with Ken, and we will get in touch with you and have you back. You're listening to Sal Ferro today, one of Long Island's greatest entrepreneurs and greatest philanthropists. Stay with us. We got a commercial break coming up. We'll be right back.
And now, welcome back to Radio Jobline with your host, Scott Possessor, right here on LI News Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. So here we are in an empty airport. There's no one here. That's where our studio is. They're still making the announcements about the planes that may or may not be landing, but it's kind of sad to see this airport this empty, but we've got it to ourselves, so at least we're not going to get interfered with. You won't hear any planes flying overhead today. We are talking with our new intern today, Ken Connolly, who has joined us. I'm very excited about having Ken. He did such a fantastic job on the opening read there. And we have maybe Long Island's finest entrepreneur with us today, Sal Ferro, a guy that I've gotten to know personally. And this is why I love to have guests on the show that I know, Sal, because I know you. I know what you stand for, and I know how you think. And it's especially gratifying to me to be in a position to give you a platform to talk about how the remodeling industry is going to get back to where it was. If anybody can do it, Sal, it's you. I've been negative on a lot of things, and I'm not afraid to admit it. I don't like what I see in the economy. I don't like the jump back that people are expecting, some of the political stuff that goes on above us is just something that I don't even want to think about. But please, Sal, take a little time. Give people advice. What should contractors do? I mean, not everybody's nearly the size of Allure Home Improvements. So there's many guys out there that are struggling. What are they going to do?
A couple of things. I think guys have to look at their company. Number one, they need to know their numbers. They really need to know their numbers. They need to know what their numbers are monthly and really look at their cash flow numbers and determine what goes in, what goes out. A lot of little guys don't understand that, Scott, and they need to know what they what that cash flow number is on a monthly basis and how they might have to or they might be able to consolidate in a way during these tough times or as they emerge from it where they can do some consolidation and kind of make things a little leaner as they emerge and then they can grow again as things get better.
So if there's a shakeout, does that help a larger business like yourself? Because people may say
it can hurt and help.
Yeah.
A small guy is lean. He can maneuver a lot quicker and easier.
Mm.
You know, it's a lot tougher to move the Queen Mary than it is to move a speedboat.
Right.
So, you know, me being the Queen Mary, but on the same token, I'm a lot sturdier.
Right.
So I'm a lot stable and sturdy, and I'm going to take some big waves a lot easier than a little speedboat as well.
Right.
So it depends how you look at things. He can move a little quicker, a small guy, but I could take the big waves a lot easier.
Right.
So these big waves that are coming, I'm in a position to really handle it well, but a small guy can make adjustments real quick.
Mm.
And what I suggest is look at your business and say, okay, what are the things I need to do to withstand these tough times and be ready for when things get good again? And does that mean, adding some products and services later on? Does it mean learning things now? Does it mean getting new technology? Many small guys are not into technology. They don't have the latest and greatest and technology so that when things do change, you can do more with less, okay? Because technology is where this industry is now.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing virtual things. We're doing things with technology you would never dream of.
Right.
You know, we're measuring houses without even going to the houses, okay? So there's just some amazing stuff. That the whole part about consolidating, it's what a lot of big companies do.
Yeah.
Okay, they consolidate. So I think it's real important. But you hit me with something before with the negative part and, you know, that you feel sometimes you're not sure where things are going to go. And I've been telling this to my team, and I've been using this, and I don't know if I came up with it, but I know it just came into my head early on when this was all happening. And I told everybody, you know, let's stay positive, stay positive. And I said, I want you all to, you know, to continue to have hope and faith, okay? Because without hope, you're hopeless, and without faith, you're lost.
Mm.
And yeah. I really think it's important every business thinks about that.
Yeah, it's a good...
Because I refuse to not have hope or faith throughout this whole... This is a historic pandemic, a historic economic crisis that we're all going through. But without hope and faith... We're hopeless and we're lost.
I think a lot of people like me, Sal, not to change the subject, but the people that are down like me are, it's because I believe 90,000 people have died and nobody's doing anything about it. You know, I'm sitting here watching these numbers go up every day, 60,000, 70,000.
But I look at the numbers different than you.
Please.
I look at the numbers and I see that Suffolk County, 42.6% of the people in Suffolk County died in nursing homes.
Hmm.
Everybody north of Westchester, it was 49.55% died in nursing homes.
Mm.
I look at the numbers, and I'm seeing a different pattern. I'm seeing a lot of things, and I don't think nobody's doing anything about it. I think that we're putting historic efforts towards finding a vaccine quicker than ever been before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everybody's on the same page there. We all want the vaccine.
Yeah. I see two county executives working together, and I speak. Steve Ballone called me on Sunday. Called me at home on Sunday to talk about how things are going. And you know, we talked a little while. I see two county executives working together as a team in a region, and truly trying to make this region as you know, protecting our region and doing what's best for our region. I see more positives in a negative time. And I think it's really how you choose to look at things. And that's why I say, without hope and faith, you're hopeless and you're lost. And I think it's truly a perspective.
Yeah.
And that perspective as a CEO is key, because it's how your employees look at you and they look at things. When you walk into that office, and we have people in the office, maybe very few people, but there's still some people in there, or they see me on the email or the Zoom calls we have. It's so important as a leader for them to see you, that you have the hope, that you have the faith, that you're the one that they can look to when they're not sure what's going to happen.
Well, now you know why I wanted to have you on the show, because yeah. You're positive, and I need that positivity.
Anybody could pick that up from this call.
Yep.
Is that there is so much that we could still look to and know that we can, you know, we're going to pull through, but we're only going to pull through. Okay, if we feel that way,
we want you to be right, Sal. We all want you to be right, and we hope that it all works out really great for everyone. And but I do want to take a little bit of time, because the original reason I had you on the damn show was because I wanted to talk about how you became, you know, the philanthropist and the amazing CEO that you are in here on Long Island, one of the best. And I'm kind of interested in your story, you know, and I'd love to maybe pick it up with how you got involved with Extreme Home Makeover.
Many years ago, the show was on, season one. They were just, they were getting into season two, and they wanted to come out to the East Coast. They were looking for a contractor, builder. And they reached out. They said, listen, we see you guys are, you know, well-known on the East Coast doing work in New York. Would you be interested in doing the show? I said, yeah. A buddy of mine was doing the show on the West Coast in California, Matt. And Matt said, you know, Matt was working with them. And he kind of said, you know, I know Sal. He's good. He'd be good with the show. I met with them. I said, you know what? I'll give it a try. Let me see what it's like. I like helping people. We did a show in Manhattan. It was for two firefighters after 9/11,
mm-hmm.
and it was didn't really go really well, Scott. I got to be honest with you. It wasn't a typical show. It was a live reveal. You know, I think it was Regis or something like that. I don't really remember how we did it. It was kind of a night show, and it was really not a great experience. And I was like, ah, I'm not really into it. I didn't love it. I did like the two firefighters we helped.
Right.
And that was it. And they came calling. They said, listen, we liked working with you guys. Would you do another show? And I said, nah. You know, here's some money. Please don't call again. No, we got a family that really went through a lot. They got hurt by a contractor, left them high and dry.
Mm.
And they're living in, defecating in plastic bags. They can't even live in their home. Mm. And that's when I went, what? A woman adopted these two young boys. They were born addicted to crack. And now I'm like tears and the whole bit. I said, let me hear more about this family. We find out about it. We go see the house. We're like, we'll do the show.
Mm.
And then that was it.
Wow.
Fell in love with the spirit of what the show was about, helping families through what we do, which is homes.
Yeah.
And it just hit. You know, we fix home. We build dreams. You know, our thing is we go to extremes to build your dreams. And that's what we do. We fix homes, and that's what we do. And this is how we can fix someone's life, by doing their home. And that was what Extreme Makeover was doing. And that was the Alley family, and then after that, we did. We went out east, and we did Setauket, and boom, and we ended up doing 8 shows, and it was a great experience while it lasted. Met some great people, and
you stood out more than anybody, Sal. On that show, you stood out. Maybe I'm just being prejudiced, but you stood out more than anybody from the builders
well,
that
you
I
know
saw.
Who agrees with you? My mother.
I was going to say your wife. probably at least one of those two, but that was great stuff. And then Sal, it seemed like you kind of parlayed the popularity you gained from the show into growing the business. Am I wrong, or was there a direct relationship between the two?
I think that we at the time we were in a growth phase. We started adding products. We got into our Owens Corning basement finishing system. We grew our kitchen and bath business. So it was definitely the time we were together. I think that the show, we balanced it with the show. I used the show as a philanthropic thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
The show felt I was using it too much for philanthropic. They used to tell me you need to kind of be a little more aggressive with the, you know, market. And that's why I had my marketing director. You know, Seth was always like, come on, you got to do this. And I was more the falling in love with the families and that kind of stuff. There was some correlation. But after the show at Setauket, you know, there wasn't as much people coming out to the show. Long Island, that third show in East Setauket was, St. James. I apologize, St. James. That was probably the most popular show we ever did, that third show. Maybe we went up to Westchester with the Arena family. That was just that was hard. I mean, I still talk to Gina Arena. Every show has a connection, you know, Lucia Lee, Peter family. I mean, every show has a connection.
And the way you customize them too to the specific illnesses or problems that the people had, that was always so satisfying. You know, when the reveals happened, I used to sit, I'm telling you, I was a gigantic fan of the show, particularly when you were on it. But I used to say, what a wonderful thing. This couple that had nothing. They had, you know, physical problems, mental problems, all social problems, and they couldn't survive. And here you saved their lives and gave them all of the things that they needed to have a great life, Sal. And that must have been such an amazingly satisfying feeling.
It was a phenomenal feeling. And, you know, we did George to the Rescue a couple of years back. We've done Bar Rescue. We've done other shows that have helped people. And we've thought about doing shows. People have said, you want to do other shows? And I've always said, I'm only going to do TV if it relates to helping families and it fits our mission, which is, you know, philanthropic and helping people.
Yeah.
And it's been a wonderful thing. It's been a wonderful ride. It ties into the Farrell Foundation, and I'm proud of it. I'm really proud of those years we spent with Extreme Makeover. It was a wonderful show. The stars of the show, Ty and Paulie, they were all great people to work with.
Yeah, they seemed like it. It seemed like you had a great relationship with them too.
We sure did.
That's great.
And it was a great bonding experience for the team, Scott. It was wonderful what it did for the team. Wonderful.
All right. Well, I won't forget it. I wish that show was still on the air. I'd still be watching it.
Would you believe it's back on the air?
Is it?
And they're on HGTV. They called. They just, I think they've done one or two episodes. Different people are on the show now. Different, you know, Ty's not back, Paulie, none of them are back.
Right.
A couple of the old producers are there. They give me a call. Hey, you know, we may be coming out. I said, listen, if you're going to come out, give me, let me, we'll see what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, I'm kind of keeping my distance. Well, right now with the pandemic, I'm keeping a very far distance.
Yeah. Yeah. I know how far that is.
I'm focusing on paying jobs.
Right. I understand completely. And, but all together, so the business was hit very, very hard overall. For everyone,
yeah.
The larger companies can take the punches a little bit better. The smaller ones had to retool, refigure out, rejigger their finances and so on. I'm just wondering if there'll be some carryover now. If some of these, the shakeout from some of the smaller companies that went down, maybe you're going to find yourself with some more employees you can hire.
Yeah, I think that one of the things we've looked at as we've done our retooling and strategic planning is, the market's going to shrink, and our job is to look at taking a bigger share of the market.
Mm-hmm.
We were down quite a bit in April, and we'll be down quite a bit in May.
Mm-hmm.
As we go forward, if the market shrinks, you know, what are we going to do? We're going to continue to take the specific share we took, or do we take a bigger share of the market?
Mm-hmm.
I do believe there'll be companies that aren't going to make it through this, and there'll be guys available. These are guys that I can take in. They come work for me. They can, they can take their business and jump on board. I think there'll be a lot of opportunities out there. The landscape's going to be different when this is all over.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be a new norm, as they use that word, and it doesn't mean it's going to be terrible.
It's
different doesn't mean it's going to be terrible.
Well, you already said it's going to be great, so I'm counting on you now. And I'm going to tell everybody the remodeling business is going to be fine because Sal said so.
Well, the remodeling business is going to be fine. All I want is everybody be healthy and safe.
Yeah.
We had a personal loss in our family, it was terrible, and it does remind you this is a deadly disease. I did not want to make light of it at all in this phone call by being positive.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to be positive on the economic part of it to say there will be light at the end of the tunnel. If you work hard, you be smart, you continue to look for innovative ways to do things, you just can't sleep, stay inside and say, okay, when it's all over, go out and think everything's going to be the same as it was.
Mm-hmm.
You got to anticipate, plan, and go out there and work with your team. My team's been tremendous working with me, but I do believe the light at the end of the tunnel is going to be a bright light and that we are going to truly come out of this ahead.
You know what I always loved about your place, Sal, was the virtual, the way you can see the kitchen or the bathroom, the way it's going to look. With various colors and so on. I just thought that was a great addition when you added that.
Yep, and we still do it, and we do it even better now.
I'll bet you, I was going to say, are there new technologies to use drones, to fly over places?
Right now we don't have to use the drones because there's satellites that do that stuff for you now.
Right, cool.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. And all right, so your prognosis is positive for the industry?
My prognosis is positive. We just have to listen to the government, listen to the CDC, follow these guidelines. Wear masks, sanitize, protect yourself. And if you don't believe it, well, then just respect those that do. You want to be out there protesting to get the government, the economy started? I respect that. I want to get the economy started. Just protest with a mask on.
Yeah, I don't understand why the protesters don't wear masks.
Wear a mask.
It's disturbing. It's disturbing.
You know what? Leave out the bashing of the government. Leave out your whatever. Turn it into a pro-economy thing. That's great. Put the mask on. This way, you turn it into it's about the economy and getting started because I'm all for that.
A couple of weeks ago, I'm driving on Jericho Turnpike in Commack, right where you live.
That's it.
And I saw, it must have been 300 protesters. And they had this gigantic sign, ignore King Cuomo. I happen to think that Cuomo has done a pretty good job here. And he's shown some real leadership. And I just don't understand where the anger is coming from. We're all in the same boat.
I'll tell you where the anger is coming from. The anger is coming from the frustration of the, the non-essential, the essential, the people that are working, the people that aren't working, the getting stuck in the homes. And then the anger is coming from the differences of the information. What you're getting right now is these COVID numbers are very different.
Mm.
And if you start really reading deep into the numbers, the numbers are very different when you start hearing, two people dying of cancer and heart attack, and then they're listed as COVID-19 deaths. Mm. And the people are getting frustrated. It's a lot of frustration out there. So who do you blame? You blame the leader. Mm. You know, our president gets blamed for everything. The leader of the state gets blamed for everything. So, I'm being nonpartisan. I don't care if you're Republican or you're Democrat. I care about how we're going to be in the economy and everybody stays safe. Right now, there's issues with the nursing homes.
Yeah.
Many people died in nursing homes. A lot of frustration there.
Yeah.
There's issues with people paying their bills. They want to go back to work. So, you know, you feel that there's been a positive run by the governor, but yet there's a lot of people that are feeling different because they want to get back to work. So I understand the frustration. So I choose to say, listen, if you want to say get the economy started, don't bash the governor. Mm. Don't say pro-Trump. Leave the politics out of it.
Mm.
Put a mask on. You'll get more people supporting you.
Absolutely.
That's what I believe.
Yeah.
Because when you leave politics out of the economy stuff, all of a sudden, you get people on the side of the road going, I want to get back to work.
Yep.
That's just my advice as a person who wants to get back to work.
I'm with you, Sal. And listen, we want to take a minute. We're almost out of time. I want to take a minute to give people the website for Allure Home Improvements, maybe the general phone number, email address, whatever you got. Go ahead.
Allure.com. www.allure is with one L.
Right.
Allure.com. And the best number to call us at is, basically, 296-7777, 516.
516-296-7777. 7777.
Yeah. But the website is allure.com.
All right. We'll send people there. Listeners, take a look. And when you need home improvements, you can't do better than Sal Farrell from Allure Home Improvements. Yeah. Sal, thank you so much for being with us and spending some time with us today.
Yeah, my director of marketing will probably be mad I didn't give you the 1-800 number, but that's all right.
Well, you send it to me. I'll read it next week.
You got it, buddy.
All right. You got it. Sal, take care of yourself. Stay well. Be safe. And I'll talk to you soon.
You too.
Thank you, Sal.
Right. Stay safe.
All right. Thank you, Sal. All right. We're almost out of time, guys. If you have an idea, scottp118@gmail.com. We'll be back next week, everybody. Happy hunting.
May the four winds blow you safely.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.